At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons change, we still keep it together.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans, are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode, storyline by storyline, character by character, as we break down the making of your favorite zip code with your host. Charles
Rosen.
Did
I say that?
Yeah. Mary Mullen.
This foolish thing about the real person. And we go, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks TV crush worthy.
Like so many special guests. And all your questions. Live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here we are back again on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Super excited to be back and have everybody here. I want to just, before we get into everything we're going to talk about today, I want to talk about what we're going to talk about next week. And that conversation is Kelly and Dylan. And we are happy to announce that Kelly... Yep. Jenny Garth will be with us next week to dive into that conversation with us. So, Charles, it's been a little bit. We haven't seen her since the reunion. Are you excited to see Jenny and all that?
Well, we did see her, if you remember, with a few weeks ago when you put on that nice private conversation with Joe.
That's right. So yes, I see it.
Yes. But yes, I'm always excited at this with Jenny. First of all, I love what we did with the characters, and she was always... like all of our actors, really, just so above and beyond what, you know, what they always hit it right. And she's so cute. And yeah, so I'm really looking forward to it. And I think she's got a really nice personality. So I'm looking forward to it. Hey, I guess I'm looking forward to it.
Very awesome. Jessica, how about you? You haven't seen, we all saw Jenny a little bit this year, mm-hmm. or last year.
Yeah. I saw her briefly. It'll be great to see her, particularly to talk about the Kelly Dylan romance. It's very exciting for me. It'll be great.
Yeah, and I think it's
a lot of key scenes
and a very touching episode for her, you know, given the relationship with Luke and all that stuff. Larry, yeah. How about you?
I mean, that's what I want to hear, is how it was like working with Luke all through that stuff. Well, you know, what was the kissing like? I want to get down to it a little bit.
Definitely not a kissing problem.
Luke
there.
Enjoyed that. No, not at all. No, not at all. They all love to kiss Luke. So, at least that's what I've heard on their podcast. So I know that to be true.
That's right.
But it's fantastic, really, to get her insight into what was going on with that relationship as we kind of track it all the way through.
Right.
That'll be terrific.
Yeah. You know, hey. You wonder if did she expect Jessica's when as reading Child as the father to the man, did she expect that we'd be pulling it away from her because there was so much connectivity going on the page with
right.
Brenda and Dylan. You know, I've never thought of that question. I know we just talked about, we probably shouldn't bring that up, but it is it is an interesting thing. I wonder if she has any recollection of that feeling.
Mm. A lot of good questions coming all over about that. So that's next week. Jenny Garth is going to join us for that conversation. Now, Melanie is here real quick because she's got this Valentine's Day hunt. Brian shared it today, right? What's going on with that?
Yeah, Brian Austin Green shared a story about the hunt. I was very appreciative of that. And it kicks off tomorrow. It goes from February 11th through the 15th. You can join at 90210hunts.com. And it's a great time. We reenact scenes, get creative, celebrating our love of the show. And for anybody that registers before the end of the podcast, podcast, I will select one person to get a pack of trading cards. And I will also give away a pack of trading cards to people who have already registered, who email and say that they're interested. So sign up, 90210hunts.com, starts tomorrow, and it's going to celebrate everything we love about 90210.
And Valentine's Day.
And Valentine's Day, yes.
I promise not to win, but I am registered. I'm really going to go. I'm going right at the bell. I'm going to go hard. So just know I'm competitive.
Also, before you go, Melanie, this is the kind of stuff you're talking about, reenactments. This is the kind of stuff that people are submitting to these things. This is not our normal friend. This is somebody else that submitted.
I think you need to stop seeing each other, at least for a while. Thrin, you're overreacting. Yes. You need to stop worrying about what your parents think and figure out what you feel. I know what I'm feeling. No, you don't.
Yes, that was a good time. Her name is Christine Barger, and that task was to reenact an iconic scene. And Hunt Hints, you may see something like that in this upcoming hunt. So get ready for it.
Great.
I'd like to see so Facebook on that.
Yeah, we're trying to not play as many clips because we got banned last week. So I mean, it's going around. Everyone's getting banned from social media these days. Okay,
you mean because of the music or just in general?
The music, yeah. I think that's what's happened. All right, I want to show before we're going to bring Matthew and Anne on in a second, but I want to play what we have going on at the shirt shop.
Okay. Do you know we have even more new shirts and merchandise at BeverlyHills90210ShowShop.com? For instance, watch our Planet 90210 show with some sick Planet 90210 merch. Or want to celebrate at the Peach Pit? Check out this new shirt with a photo from Jill Henkel's collection. Or, oh my God, I know Claire Arnold fans are going to love this one. A little sex, rock, and really decent literature. Plus, for all you Larry Mullen fans, that's right, a get out of here shirt. And don't forget about our classic designs. We keep loading it up with more items each week, so head over to BeverlyHills90210ShowShop.com for all your 90210 stuff.
And what's exciting, I'm wearing, Larry's got the get out of here shirt.
I do.
I'm wearing a
piece. I got one on. I got Planet.
Check
Planet
up, Planet 90210. There you go.
Yeah, I feel like Walter Winchell, knowing now that there are people all around the world that are listening to us. All right. So hello, everybody.
Real quick, too, before we go to them, listen, we've got another one real, real cool. The college shirt, Brandon, Valerie, Kelly, Donna, David. For all you college fans, this is the sequel to the original high school shirt. So that's up at the store now. Okay. I know Melanie wants me to also acknowledge on Thursday, we're doing a tweet along with Pluto TV.
We've got to push that later on. We'll close out with that.
Okay, cool.
I want to see Ann and Matthew.
Yes. Finally. Sorry. Yeah. This is exciting. We have people have asked for this for so long, the reunion of Mel Silver and Jackie. So here it is.
Oh.
Cheers.
Oh, hi.
Hello. I know. It's great to see
you. Hi, all of you guys.
Hi.
Hey, guys. So good. How's everything? It's cold where you are, yeah? Where you
guys are? Yeah, it's snowing where I am.
Well, we're in the middle of an ice storm that just started. So hopefully the power doesn't go out while we're here talking.
As you freeze up.
When was the last time you guys have seen each other? Maybe I know everything's virtual now. So, I mean, when was the last time you guys have seen each other?
You know, Matthew, I don't know if you remember, but I was a new priest in Alexandria, and you came and we had coffee in Alexandria. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do, but I really don't. I don't know when that was.
It had to have been in, like, I want to say 2009, 2010. Like, it was a while ago.
Well, it was probably before in 2009 I moved. I was living in North Carolina.
Yeah, but you showed me a picture of your baby, I think. So you have a 17-year-old, so I don't know. Anyway.
My baby is 17, and they're 17 and 14 now. So, you know, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
Well, it's too long. Good to see you both here.
And Carolina had a lot of production, right? That's why you were there mostly. I mean, it was an active production scene, or not really?
No.
All right.
In 99, I decided to leave LA. Mm-hmm. I had pretty much had it. And I knew I was in trouble when after I had a pretty great career. And
yes, you did.
I got a call from my agent one day who said, I had my own show on Fox for 3 years, a sitcom. I guest starred on every big sitcom there was. And my agent called and said, just so you know what's going on here, I just submitted you for a pilot to NBC. And the 25-year-old casting director said, you know, I love him on 90210, but can he do comedy?
Oh, wow.
And I went, see ya, I'm out of here. And through the miracle of celebrity golf tournaments, which changed my life, seriously.
Yeah.
I had gotten very friendly with Coach K at Duke. And I told him I wanted to leave LA. He said, why don't you come and work with me? So for 10 years, I sat behind the bench and did radio for the Duke men's basketball team.
Wow. How wonderful.
That's what I was doing in North Carolina.
And is that a Titleist hat you have on? Is that what it says?
Yes, it is. Titleist hat with my Yankees logo on the side.
Were you really good? Obviously, you had a good handicap.
I used to be really good. You know, now if I can get out of bed and make it to the golf course.
Yeah, that's a win. Yeah, right.
Really good. I used to be about a 5 handicap. I'm about a 12 now, which is still pretty good. And but got those celebrity tournaments changed my life.
That's awesome.
Jobs. I met my wife at a celebrity golf tournament. Yeah, that's what I was doing in LA when I went to high end.
Hello. It's so funny because I was telling my husband, Jeff, who knows Matthew really well, that I was going to see you tonight. And he said, oh, I think Matthew set up me playing at Pebble Beach.
What a thrill.
Meanwhile, we were talking about the last time we saw each other.
Yeah.
When we were still doing the show, and I remember going to you guys. I mean, your kids, Annie and I chatted a little while earlier today for a few minutes. And how old are they?
Well, so my son Spencer is 32. I have pictures of Shannon and Kelly holding him when he was like 4. And my daughter, the one who's the pregnancy that we see in the show, she's 28 now.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Are you telling me you had already given birth when you played Perfect Mom and came out in that bathing suit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd given birth to my son 2 years before that.
That's what I'm saying. Bravo. Bravo.
Hey, Charles, I'm not an idiot. I know. I mean, you think I just walked over because her tooth broke over again? I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. Like you had anything to say about it.
Yeah. But poor kids, I remember being with the kids when they were tiny. I mean, tiny.
Yeah.
And I would.
Yeah, well, and then my daughter, we had her on the set a lot. I mean, that was amazing. And all the young actresses wanted to hold her and wanted to become a mom. And I was like, really think about this before you.
A lot of work.
Yeah. But great. So, yeah. So it does date us, I must say.
Before we get into the episode, I'm curious for both of you. When did you guys meet each other? How did you find out you were going to be paired with each other? And do you remember some of that? Maybe we'll start with Anne.
It was on the set. I mean, we had not met before then. I think you might have met Jeff before then. Maybe. I can't
I might have, but I know that we hadn't met.
We had not met. And we met in the shooting of that episode where I chipped my tooth. And
the beach club,
the beach club. That's right. And it was the second summer. I mean, it was the second season, and Jackie was nearly sober, which was a good thing. And Mel shows up, and fortunately, it was a very cute scene. And that's where we got to be good buddies right away. And then, honestly, I mean, pretty quickly after that episode, I found out that I was pregnant in real life, and that's when I went to Paul Wagner, and I was like, okay, so here's the story. And miraculously, it got written into the storyline. And that just sort of took us off in the direction that it took us off. So,
and I'm very thankful.
Yes. Yeah.
We got a lot of comments in the chat already about just how relatable the parent these two characters were comparatively to some of the other parent couples put together. Did you guys find that there was a great sort of chemistry right from the onset working together?
Yeah, didn't you think so, Matthew? We had so much fun together. No,
there's as an actor, you're getting paid to do a certain role. I didn't like her. I didn't, but I thought this is my job, and I'll do it to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
From the first minute that we met, she's the greatest. She always was. I got very friendly with Jeff, mm-hmm. Who I love dearly. Also, it was too good to be true.
Yeah. Was your husband an actor or a director?
Yeah, my husband's an actor also, yeah.
Oh, great.
Great actor. I mean,
yeah,
great.
Jeff Allen.
Yep.
Oh, I see. Well, in this episode, obviously, Charles, I want to start talking to you. We watched this on Patreon, quick plug there. And
Baby Makes Five.
Baby Makes Five, yeah. The Valentine's Day episode of that season.
Oh, boy.
Doing all this stuff with them, we were talking about that and that it was a really great way to put the parents together and do this. What do you remember about putting them together and sort of doing this storyline for Valentine's?
Well, what I didn't remember, and obviously I probably should have, Jessica. So I would have tossed this to you. Do you remember that she was pregnant and that's why we started pushing in a baby to put them together?
Don't remember it. I'm watching it. I wouldn't have known it unless you just said it.
And I'm so Jessica and I are on the exact same page.
I was just delighted to watch it. I know I wrote it. I haven't seen it how old's your daughter? 29
years.
Me too. I had not seen this one since it aired. So I was really excited to be seeing it for that reason.
Especially,
as well.
I joke about how little I remember, but I actually did remember this episode.
Yeah.
And I remembered the shooting of it, and I remembered some of the writing. But there were certain things that I didn't. The guy sitting in your dentist chair
was hilarious.
So funny. It was such a great moment for any of the viewers at home who are listening or watching now. There's a moment where Jackie and Mel are having an argument.
I'm going to play it. I have it.
Mel, and I appreciate it. Really, I do. But I can't let you go through with it.
What are you talking about?
Valentine's Day dinner, for starters. It's off.
You came all the way down here to cancel a dinner party? Couldn't you have done that on the phone? I'm in the middle of a root canal.
Well, this won't take long. I'm letting you off the hook. You should be thanking me.
What hook?
It's all over, Mel. I won't let you marry me out of some sense of obligation.
Jackie, what are you talking about?
Oh, come on, Mel. It's no secret that you don't want any more children. Admit it.
Well, I don't...
No, I've made up my mind. I thought about this long and hard, and I believe in a woman's right to choose. I really do. But this is the only choice for me. I have to keep this baby.
Baby? You're going to have a baby?
It's okay. You don't have to pretend for my sake. I know you know. That's why I came as soon as I could.
Well, Jackie...
Mel, please, just let me finish. This isn't easy for me either. But I've made my decision. I don't think we should see each other anymore.
What?
I won't ask you for child support. I won't make any demands on your time or your checkbook. I'm going to do this myself. I'm sorry it had to work out this way, but that's it.
Jackie!
No! I've made up my mind. I love you, Mel. But I'm sorry. It's over.
I love that.
I love
that. It's great.
Let me just say this. Why did you not let me get a word in, Edward?
Seriously. It's a Molière play. It's a Molière play.
It's Molière.
Thank you, Larry.
What I thought was funny was in the very next scene when I'm with Kelly and I'm crying and I'm like, he didn't even try to stop me. And I was like, no way. He was going to get a word in there anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And the funny thing was when that was finished and I walked back to whoever that wonderful gentleman was in the chair, and I said, I guess you heard that. I was like,
yeah, he had a good line. We talked about he had a good
congratulations on that.
I agree.
Congratulations.
Well, I figured it was just hormones. I mean, you know, and the practicality that if you did hear them, we were over, and what was going to be the other story we'd be following, you know? So we had to keep
it was great. And, you know, you, Jessica, you were talking about it, Charles, you were talking about it. I hadn't seen that episode since then either. There have been episodes that I've rewatched because certain people have asked me about certain things. I always get the one where David and I go to Portland to always. But I hadn't seen that one. And when Peter got in touch with us and said we were doing a Valentine's Day thing, and I went, oh, I can't. I mean, I knew it was around that time that we fought about it and the baby, but when I watched it yesterday, of course, I cried, I don't know, 6-7 times because I cry at dog food commercials. But it brought back so many great memories. Like the last time I spoke with you all, there are so many great memories tied to the show and Anne and all of you, everybody connected with it, I think in all our lives. And it was just, it was amazing to watch again. It really was. Jessica, thank you.
Thank you guys.
It was so delightful. And the mood of it was just so upbeat and so happy. Yeah. And Bill D'Elia directed it, and he's an amazingly good director.
By the way, I have the actor's name.
Oh, who was it? Because I looked it up.
Noodles Feldenstein?
Noodles.
This has to be a fake name. No, it has to be a fake name.
I don't believe it.
Interesting.
Noodles Feldenstein?
I wonder if that's why he got cast.
I have no idea.
He must have changed his name. I thought we called his name was Kashavarna, and that's what we were doing.
It was really fun.
In the credits, his real first name is there, and Noodles is in quotation marks. Oh, well, has a middle name.
But I was saying, when we were watching it, we got to hang out and watch it together, and one of the things that struck me, and what the fun part of this was, that when you wrote Jim and Cindy, you were writing the all-American family. And with you, it was just kind of free characters going, and, you know, yes, we know what we had to do, you know, in breaking you up, which I don't even remember why we did that. We just probably were really in desperate need of plot at that point, you know. But
well, it's very Beverly Hills. It's very Beverly Hills.
Well, sure. And also that, yes, my friend Jack's dad was a dentist, and he was had, you know, a rover. And that feeling right after the baby's born, I can do anything, you know, and you got, you know.
Yeah.
Well, bad judgments. I think I told you last time, Charles, that I've been yelled at to this day because I had an affair with
champagne.
My dental hygienist when she was 3 months pregnant. So, you know, thanks for that too.
Yeah.
You know, that was also Janet Du Bois, the woman from Good Times, is in this episode also.
Oh, is that who that was?
She's no longer around. Janet Du Bois, her name was. Yeah, she's great.
Oh, she was wonderful. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. Charles and I were going to try to get her. So there goes that.
No, you're not going to get her.
And they get in touch.
Are you seeing this comment?
Chris wants to know, since you're a dentist, who do you think had the best teeth in the cast? And also, did you ever practice a root canal on any of the cast in between?
I'm always
bringing the heat.
Your research? Yeah.
Okay, now, this is really funny. I'm not sure who I spoke to, but I think in the original script, it said, Mel is in his office performing a root canal on a patient. And I don't remember. I called the office and I said, "Have they ever had a root canal? You can't fake doing a root canal,
right?
I'm not a real oral surgeon. Can I just be like looking with the mirror thing in his mouth?" So the answer to that is no. And who had the best teeth? I'm going to say probably Luke. Maybe Luke.
So
or Jason, one of the, or Brian. maybe Brian, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, my son. Get an eye in your teeth, Dave.
Of course. Yeah. Well, then they weren't very good.
And what about you looking back? You looked back on this episode too and saw some of the same scenes. What were you feeling? Did you get emotional too, like Matthew? Well,
yes. I mean, first of all, I just sadly didn't remember a whole lot of it, but it was delightful, and it was fun to do comedy. Jackie didn't get to do a whole lot of comedy, and there was a lot of sort of comic timing that was happening, and it was a delightful thing to do with Matthew. And I kept being sort of amazed at all the outfits they put me in. I mean, it was like one crazy costume after another, which were fabulous, but I was like, wow, I really was pregnant. Yeah. So to me, I was like, they did a good job of trying to hide it, but there was no hiding it at that point. And anyway, it was fun to revisit it and fun to think about the fact that my daughter, who I love and adore, was growing inside me, and I didn't know her then. And that, I don't know, there was something kind of wise, you know, about how it was all part of the show and how I felt so embraced by the show around this child. I remember 3 weeks after she was born, we were back at the beach club filming, and I had to bring my husband because she wouldn't take a bottle. And then I had to bring my son, and you know, everybody was so kind and so, yeah, I don't know. It was just a lovely way to begin her life.
And you know something, I'll just say this real quick. First of all, you're not as good an actress as I thought you were, because you were really pregnant. Okay. So. Yeah, number two, that whole thing when her real family was there, you know, yeah, how hard that was on me. Did anybody ever think of that?
I ran a call from the set and said, you know what Matthew was going through right now?
Horrible. Horrible.
Let me show you another scene. This is really sweet at the end of the episode. Hold up. Oh, yeah.
I was going to wait till tonight to give this to you, but what the hell? I want to marry you, Jackie. I want to spend the rest of my life with you and our child. Will you marry me?
Oh, Mel. Yes. Yes.
Really nice stuff, guys.
I also agree. I usually, in fact, I said this when I'm watching. I usually am not that fashion conscious watching our show, but they had you. Diane Kenny put you in great outfits.
And I wore the same tie and jacket.
You're Beverly Hills dentist. You know, you're just looking for your conquest. You know?
Also, Matthew was ahead of the curve here wearing a mask.
When we were watching, I was like, oh my God, pre-COVID.
When I watched it, I was like, this is weirdly scary because I'm wearing the same mask now.
People are very confused when they meet you.
Oh my Lord.
But what was it, shooting the proposal, Anne? Do you remember doing that? And what do you do as an actor to get into that space?
Well, it's just, you know, I mean, I basically just focus on Matthew and just listen to him and sort of open my heart and let whatever comes out, comes out. I remember feeling quite vulnerable, of course, in this episode. I had a sort of that sweet scene with Jenny, and then all this fun stuff with Matthew, and plus I was probably super hormonal anyway, and you know, it just seemed like everything was very close to the surface.
Yeah.
How about for you, Matthew?
You know, it's really interesting. I'm all choked up from that scene. I didn't get married until I was 53, until 4 years after the last episode. And I had wanted to find someone and get married. And it was emotional for me. Mostly, I didn't really see it in that scene. That was more just happiness and gratitude that I was able to do it. But I remember, after we shot that, I remember going home and being pretty emotional, like I am now. Sorry.
That's okay. It's beautiful.
So lovely.
Very and nice.
That's how I felt.
Zara wants to know, wrong one. Zara wanted to know what it was like for each of you working with Jenny and Brian. What was that like for you? And we'll start working with Jenny.
Yeah. Oh, I think I might have said this the last time I was on, but I love Jenny. We had such a good relationship. Oh, at the beginning of the episode in Baby Makes Five, we're looking at baby pictures, and they're baby pictures of Jenny.
Oh, Jenny.
Baby pictures of me and my son Spencer.
Right, there's Jenny. Anyway, yeah, that's right.
Two little pictures of me and my son Spencer. So that was so, I have totally forgotten that. So that was so sweet.
Nice.
And, you know, another thing that was just, I just felt like, I mean, you know, I often think this, but I really felt like Jenny and I were supposed to be in this relationship on the show, because I don't know, we had a wonderful, wonderful connection. And at one point I brought in my my high school yearbook, and everybody in the makeup trailer was looking at pictures and they were like, oh my God, that looks like Jenny. And so it was just this wonderful combination of just, we just, you know, were enough looking alike, but really, I really feel it was the heart connection that we had. And, you know, the way the show was written, sometimes she had to be the parent to me, the immature, you know, adult. And then sometimes I was the parent to her, you know, whatever she was going through. And anyway, it was a total gift. And if she's going to be on next week, you have to say hi to her for me.
Will do. Maybe you could drop that in. I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, we'll see. I'll record a little video for her or something. Hey, what about you, Matthew? You've talked about working with us before, about working with Brian. What was that like for you?
I'll just say this again, and just mention the makeup trailer. Looking, that was part for 9 years, among the best parts of being on the show. Yeah. Was there's nothing like going early in the morning and people are getting into makeup and we're having coffee and the conversations and things that went on. I missed that.
Yeah.
I didn't miss much about the business, but I missed makeup trailers. As you can tell, I tried to get makeup tonight.
It's not in the it's not in the budget of the Beverly Hills 90210 show podcast to provide makeup.
If you can do something about that.
We're going to work on that for sure.
Okay. I think I said this last time when I came in to meet with you guys about doing the show, I hadn't really watched the show very much at all. And when I came in, I think I even said, whose father will I be? Or maybe I found out before. And I think 5 years before that, or roughly, I did an episode of Circus of the Stars. I walked the high wire.
By the way. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway.
Which is what Gabrielle Carteris did on the show season for us.
Yeah.
And Circus of the Stars.
On that show, there was a young kid named Brian Austin Green who was on Dallas at the time. Mm. And we rehearsed for 5 or 6 weeks during that summer. And I hung out with him a lot. Mm. We would be together and we'd be doing things. I want to say he was 13 maybe or something. And when I found out that I was hopefully going to play Brian's father, I thought, this is the greatest. And when I walked into the makeup trailer the first day that Brian was there, he was sitting there and he jumped out of that chair and we hugged each other. I hadn't seen him in all that time. And I believe, I can't remember why I go.
Cry again?
No.
It's okay. Let it out.
It's a religious experience for me. I can't remember why I go to Kroger here half the time, but this stuff I remember. Right. I think I said to him, how are you doing? And I think he was 18 when he started on the show, maybe. Is that about right? Anyway, one of those times, and he said to me, I'm doing great. I just closed on my first house or something like that. And I went, what? You know, like you're supposed to sleep on people's couches when you're an actor until you get. I always have absolutely loved Brian. I haven't seen him or spoken to him, obviously, in a long time, but it's all these memories about the show are about the people that you work with. And Brian, to me, was, I never had to act with him because I felt like I didn't have children then. I felt like he was my son. I really did. Damn it, Ann.
All right, we're gonna say goodbye to Ann and Matthew. There's a couple of more things we need to talk about in this episode. Before that happens, Ann, we talked at the top of the show about those hunt videos. Here is somebody who recreated you in Perfect Mom. Hang on.
Here. Did you dump this?
No.
I demand an explanation.
You said that you stopped.
Tell me what I should or should not be doing. I will not have my 16-year-old daughter playing cop in my own house.
That is hilarious. So I do have to tell you that I really feel like I hit the big time when RuPaul did on the RuPaul. It was a RuPaul's drag show and did Jackie Taylor in Perfect.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you got it made.
That's cool.
It's like being a crossword puzzle.
I was a huge hit with all my.
By the way, before we go real quick,
Darren, you get a character payment.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just want to say this is my 17-year-old son.
Oh, I was wondering about that. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So number two, what is he? What does he play?
Wide receiver.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Wow. Where's he playing?
Huh?
Where?
At Lafayette High School.
Oh, right here. That's just great.
Did his team have a season?
A shortened season.
We got to get some games. Yeah.
Games postponed and different, you know, all kinds of stuff. It was not good. Anyway.
All right, guys. It was great having both of you here. We have a couple more things to talk about here about this episode, but it was great seeing you, and hopefully we'll have you guys back again to talk about something else down the line.
We would love that. Thank you all.
All right,
guys. Bye, Annie.
All right. Bye-bye. Hey, Chuck, before we move on and bring on our next guest, I want to talk about a couple other things that are happening in this episode. There's the whole Santa Anita thing that's going on, right?
It is just so close to my heart.
Trevor Denman. Guys, Trevor Denman is in this episode. You don't realize
I pointed that out on the watch along. I was the Trevor Denman. This is Trevor Denman. That's the voice of
horse racing.
Yeah.
So we were there 2 days. We were there 2 days filming at Santa Anita. Let's go to the production part of it because that was so much fun. You know, the 2 days. And Jess, you were talking about, what you learned about producing during this.
It was very early in my career. And I had come from the world of soaps where everything is in a studio. And then I had freelanced. And in all the freelancing, I didn't get to go to the set very often. Or if I did, I didn't notice. And here we were. And something had come into my head to make, you know, we did horse racing. Steve Wasserman came from a family in the horse racing business.
Mm-hmm. And
the track was part of our lives in some way. But the thought that the show would actually take us to a real track and we weren't just going to use stock footage. So we're at the track. And then to learn that in order to make a day, we had to do more because we didn't have enough to fill it. So that's where we shot all the Red Cross scenes.
At the end.
They found a room. There's
major
the
day. Major
day. Them in the corridor, and then here was shot at Santa Anita in an office.
And we were there 2 days. And one thing is, and I have also, Jess, not like Larry, when I told him, oh, it was great to go to the racetrack, Larry went, oh, yeah, Hollywood Park. And I went, uh-uh. Because I have no recollection of ever going to Hollywood Park to watch racing. But Santa Anita, I went to with my dad, you know, right as I basically turned 16. It was one time a year. We go out there. We'd have the food, you know. So it was a lot of fun just to be there. And then when I got older with Peter Lefcourt, we would go out once a year so that we could know that we'd been around where we could be the youngest people in the rooms because the sport had aged up so much demographically. But I loved what we did in the filming part of it is that we were able, with Santa Anita, where they gave us a section that was way down the infield. Yeah. And that was where we would sit our extras and our stands. And we made it seem that you were at the line.
Yeah,
we made it seem you had great seats. So I loved how that was filmed. And I think the only part, I think we really went out to that paddock while the park was filling up, because that's more extras than we had. We couldn't have that many extras, Larry.
I don't think we paid those people. I think that was real background people.
And I don't think we even tried to get releases. We just set up and went.
You know what was really great? You know what I flipped out with? I had never seen Jason. You know, and like I'm sure Chuck and Jessica, you grew up with the Bowery Boys. Well, Jason decided, because it was hat day at the track, which is a really cool thing. You know, you knew all the promotional days. But Jason had his hat turned up like Hunts Hall. He's like, it's like the Bowery Boy. It's a Bowery Boy look. And he's playing it like Hunts Hall. And I was just laughing. I had never seen that. So cool. And the whole thing was
they looked adorable. And Gabrielle
And Gabrielle with the hat.
It was so great. It was so My Fair Lady. It was just wonderful.
It was a fun day.
We had friends. Steve had grown up with some girl from Cleveland, and she was there with her husband and children, teenagers, one of whom had some sort of disability, rheumatoid arthritis. They came for that day, and they were allowed to hang out in the bleachers, whatever it's called, watching. And it was very much it was very nice for him to have these old friends there and see that he really had made good, and he really was
an important guy
on the set. It was very nice for him. Yeah, and she, our little girl, was there that day.
Yeah, well, I want to say too, you know, listen, guys, Nat is so wonderful in this episode. Joey Tati. So really great. And here he is with Duke, your friend.
Billy Vera.
Billy and the Beers. We gotta get Billy. We'll do one with him.
We'll do a Duke episode.
I love Billy. So
I mean, the truck story really read true. I mean, the whole thing with, you know, the way it was played out was really good. I could tell. So, Steve, I mean, I knew people knew the track because I've loved the track and grew up with the track myself.
And
it's very David Runyon.
So all the stuff about the way you pick it by name and that I couldn't read the.
No, that was delightful.
I couldn't read the race. Yeah. It was very real to me.
And then the whole suspense at the end. I thought that was, you know, you played the whole
thing. I was going to say, you know, Charles, the other thing that's going on in this episode is obviously Dylan and Brenda. And this is
great. One of the great runners of the series.
The origins for our Red Cross story was the Red Cross. Elizabeth Dole, very prominent American, the wife of, at the time, the wife of Senator Bob Dole, the man who was going to be running against Bill Clinton for president in 1996. And she was head of the Red Cross. She would later go on to become a Republican senator from the state of North Carolina. But she was very nice, and I guess they had a weakness in getting younger people to start giving blood. That they needed an incentive, they felt, and what better one than the popular TV show 90210. So that's what triggered this episode, not what was going on with Baby Make Five.
They left it to us to figure out how we were going to promote.
Right. And she was delighted. And she was delighted with us. We exchanged some letters. But the last letter that we exchanged, and thanking her again, telling her how good the ratings were, the last thing I wrote was, "Bipartisanly yours."
The good news for them was that it really worked.
He didn't win the election.
Is that righteous? It had impact.
Yeah, I do remember. I was quite proud of it.
Listen, somebody wrote on Instagram, they went and donated blood based on, I think Aaron Stevens is his name,
Stevenson.
Yeah. He wrote that he went and gave blood based on seeing this episode. So there you go.
Nice.
It's a win.
That man a bandage.
All right, cool. All right, let's move on. Yeah. We're going to move on.
Before we move on, I just want to say one thing that I wouldn't have noticed if we hadn't just rewatched this. The moment when Jim and Cindy are going out to dinner and Dylan says, "You look really good, Mrs. Walsh." The camera stays on him as he looks her up and down a little too long. And it was so funny to me. because she said in one of our things how great he was to her, and you could tell there was a.
There was a little something there.
Really,
yeah, she has said that on the and Tori's podcast as well.
Yes.
All right, yeah. We're going to switch gears here, but let's play this promo to bring it on properly.
Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place are back on their very own channel.
Sure, you ready for this?
This is something we are going to remember for the rest of our lives.
Watch Beverly Hills 90210 on Pluto TV.
Okay, and joining in on the fun now is James.
Hello, James.
Hey,
James.
Hello.
Hey,
thanks for coming. Thank you for having me. Fun to be here.
This is awesome, man. You get thrown into this story this storyline in a big way. Let me ask you, man. How did you? Obviously, you auditioned for this and all that stuff. Do you remember coming into the world of 90210?
I do. I remember auditioning for two roles at the same time, and one was one of the student activists. And then there was this role, which was Peter, to play. And I think at the time it was a guest star. I don't know if it was recurring. But the funny thing is what I do remember is a year earlier, I was brought in, I think, I don't know if the casting director was Diane Young.
Young, yes.
She was.
Yeah.
Good memory.
So, yeah, so she brought me in for the role of the summer acting teacher.
Oh, right.
Oh, James, we should have cast you. We should have cast you. That role we should have cast you. We would that character we wrote out never came back, never mentioned again.
Oh no, you're talking about
Randolph or a different one?
Which one?
No, no,
I'm talking not season two. Not
oh, okay. Oh, it's not.
Not Roy.
He and Larry got it wrong.
Never mind. That's an Emily Latella for those who can remember SNL.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I remember that I came in and it was for the summer acting teacher, and I gave this very flamboyant Robin Williams-esque audition. And then after I was done, I'm not sure. I was in the room with the producers, and they asked me to just say it instead of doing it, you know, like that. And I just said it. And then they were like, great. I left. And so my agent said I had a callback. Actually, he said I had a callback. And so I went into the callback. And when I was in the waiting room, there were like 50 people there. And I had no idea that it was going to be that. And when I went into the room, Aaron Spelling was sitting there. And there were like about 30 people around him, 15 on each side or something. And I had no idea. And honestly, I blew the audition.
Season two. Aaron wouldn't have been in that audition like this for season four. It was season two.
Yeah, season two. Oh, right.
Because you were playing multiple ones.
Yes, this is 3 years.
Sometimes you go with the look, it works. Sometimes you go with the look, it doesn't work. That one, you know, we didn't get anything out of that. And the actor got cast, left the business almost immediately after.
But then that freed you up to be Peter, and you did such a great job. And
well, exactly. I was happy it worked out that way because I got to come back. I think it was a year later. I got another opportunity, and it worked out wonderful. And it turned out to be such a blessing. And
I was
Gabrielle
so impressed
was,
with the
was
dancing
amazing.
Scene.
Oh, wait, let me show you. Jessica,
my God. That must be scary.
You should be here every week. You set me up perfectly. Here we go. Let's. here it is. This.
Shall we dance, Ginger?
I'd love to.
What do you remember about doing that, man?
I remember the choreography was I can't remember how many rehearsals we actually had doing the choreography and getting syncing, and it was so much fun, but we did have to work it out, and we were getting tangled up a little bit. I remember the choreographer working with us.
And the choreographer was Jason Stanton Lewis. Do you remember with the dark black hair?
Yeah, I do remember.
He was a professional dancer.
Yeah, he was.
Danny Terrio back in the day.
Right.
And I don't even remember these things, Chuck. Yeah.
Danny Terrio, sure.
Yeah, well, you know exactly, Larry.
Crystal says, you're still such a cutie. No wonder Andrea always got weak in the knees around him. So there.
You haven't aged at all.
You know, you started with the dance is so much fun and so elegantly staged. A lot of work there, clearly. I remember Paul grumbling, this is what, don't write stuff like this. It's too much work. You know,
it was fun though. We really had a great time doing it, and we worked
absolutely
really well.
But
together.
I love the scene that comes with this, and that whole you run into each other in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Gabby's with, and so there, you know, Andrea and Jesse get out, and you get out with your wife, and she just talks schmada, and they're just going on, and I love that part of it, and that, you know, Jesse's in there and gives you that time to have this moment, and you were going to an old movie, right? I mean, it was
we should set this episode up. This is it from the episode. You got to have heart.
Yeah.
Right. So the storyline where Andrea, who's been married and has a baby, now sees the doctor, who's adorable. And she starts, you know, she never really had, how many lovers did she have? Two lovers, right? Dan Rubin and Jesse.
That's
now
right.
Now she's starting to have these feelings. And luckily we were able to find you because you're such a bad boy in a good boy suit. It really works out really well.
It's a great way of saying
it. Yeah, I do.
What's great about this episode, I thought, it's a Valentine's Day episode too, which is always a terrible day. There's so much expectation and stuff. And they run, you know, we have them run into each other. It's a Max Eisenberg script, Gil Shilton directing.
Yeah. It was very interesting for me watching this episode, having just seen Baby Makes Five. It was so down. It was like, this was the dark side of Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Everybody, Paul was so different, and it was great because it just, our show had many, many levels and many tones. And this was like the middle in a symphony, how the first act is what has one tone and then the second movement has a down tone and then it comes back. Well, this was the second movement. It felt
it's a sweeps episode also, we should remember. Yes. Right. We're always looking for big stuff.
But echoing about what Jessica said, you know, I really feel that I produced five different TV shows over five different seasons.
Each one with its own name.
And then after it developed, this is what 90210 is. But at this point, we were doing different things. So this tone, you're absolutely right, is so much darker. But also we had, you know, we're not going to talk about Finley on this one, but, you know, he was in there
we'll talk about some of those things. Let's hear from James, though, about, you know, working with Gabby and doing those scenes that Chuck just mentioned about, you know, running into each other at the movie and all that stuff. What are your memories of doing some of that?
I mean, I remember she's just so easy to work with. The first episode, I believe, we met in a laundromat.
That's right.
Right? We went in the laundromat, and that's where we first kind of sort of had our connection. And
right, you thought she was a nanny.
Right. this episode was so much fun because, it was the first time you see. I don't remember if she knew that I was married. She was just kind of mortified to see us standing in line.
I think she did. She did know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of different ups and downs, and then me calling her from the hospital, and connecting with her that we both kind of sort of had that image is what I was imagining, right? We both sort of had that visualization of us possibly doing the dance sequence, Fred Astaire, Ginger,
right?
Which kind of was proof that maybe we were meant to be together. I don't know. Which sort of gave her more of a dilemma.
Unreliable narrator, sure.
I love that unreliable narrator.
There's a lot of motel stuff goes on later on too, which is kind of fun too. Yeah, but not in this episode, but you know.
Well, we
challenged her relationship. I mean, we challenged her marriage. You have to test the marriage out, and that's what was so good about it. And it was great for Gabby as Andrea to have that kind of opportunity to kind of.
Well, we went four and a half seasons. With the character of Andrea Zuckerman not having ever told a lie.
Right.
You brought out the lie in her.
She was questioning her morals and
she bald faced, looked at her husband and lied. She had never done anything even remotely like that. And I remember checking that in. Oh gosh, the last one has fallen. It wasn't, you know, it was
This is from Patreon. How was it working with Gabby? Did the fans of the show give you backlash for cheating with Andrea? And just, you know, what was it like working with the other
show? Sure, he did.
It was great working with her. She was always so giving and generous as an actress. And she was so welcoming to me. Granted, during just being on set, I remember she had, I'm not sure how soon she had just had her baby. So she had her baby on set with her. And I used to just go sit in her trailer with her while she was, and she had her baby there. And we kind of just became such great friends. And so it just made it very easy for me to be there. I felt so at home and so welcomed. I forgot that it just became like a family to me as well. So thank you all for making, I mean, it was just such a wonderful set. Sometimes you don't get that. and I felt so at home there and everybody made me feel so comfortable. I hadn't really had a chance to work with everyone. I remember Luke was one of the other cast members who I got to work with and so he was amazing as well. And Mark Espinoza, who played Jesse, he actually became a friend of mine. And so,
he's been on here a bunch. He's a sweet guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So great.
What about your wife? Who played the wife? Who remembers the wife? She has a good rap in that.
Yeah, she did. She has that thick accent. She had.
We looked it up too on Patreon. Sorry, somebody.
Yeah, that was probably what I contributed to that one with Max, because you know I used to work for the California Apparel News, so I
know that lingo. You know about fabrics.
I knew about fabrics.
That scene works great, and it's lovely if they both have the same fantasy together. No, that was good. We were building this up. It was going to be a big challenge for her, and I think in the end, we have the Dylan character really is the one who gives her the right advice. As I remember a couple episodes, which was really a great, was a good use of him.
James, what about getting any backlash on this storyline? Did anyone ever say to you, because we've had that story come up here on the show. I mean, one person, the cops were called on, if you remember that, Larry.
I never got that bad, I don't think. I remember getting a lot of fan mail from this show, which I had never gotten fan mail before. So that was kind of exciting. And most of it was positive. A lot of it positive in the sense of, like, we miss you and want you back. So that
none of it was like, well, now that you've dumped Andrea, here's my number.
There's been a lot of comments in the chat about how you look. You look so great. All these kind of things.
You didn't age. Yeah.
People still recognize me from the show, so that's always fun. And be like, hey, I remember you. It is.
Lori says James is rocking the same hairstyle. Love it.
Lori, you know it.
Yeah, we love Lori. It's been a minute, Lori. We'll get you back here soon. Thaddy says, wow, he looks great. He hasn't changed a thing.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so that's
Thaddy's in Thaddy's from Brazil, by the way.
That's right.
We have some international fans in there.
Okay, yeah. But it was nice to have a lot of fan mail. There was some mail that was kind of like, well, yeah, now that you've dumped Andrea, I'm available.
That's right. That's what Chuck
wanted. That's what you want. You want some of the juicy stuff, right?
That's what Chuck wanted.
Yeah. I do remember a few of
those. Wait a second. I was making a joke. That actually occurred.
There's a couple of, you get a couple in there that are a little a little risque, but yeah. I don't. Maybe you sent them. I don't know.
Before Tinder, I mean, you know, you gotta do
Larry, you usually ask a question to guests that kiss on the show, right?
Oh,
yeah. Well, okay, yeah. We should ask that question because they do have some kissing scenes. I know.
Yeah, we did have some kissing scenes. Well, I will say this, and the kissing scenes were great. I had to be careful because my first day on the show where I was before we shot anything, the first time I met Gabrielle, she tried to put me at ease and she said to me, I just want you to know the last guy I had a kissing scene with tried to stick his tongue down my throat and I had him fired. So no worries.
No worries.
No worries.
No worries at all.
Welcome wow. We got to track back on that.
Let's go shoot that scene. And I was like, oh, okay. But it worked out great. And the kissing scene, I think I pulled her into a room during the hospital, in the hospital hallway. We were coming down the hallway and we stowed away into a little back office, if I remember correctly. And we had a little smooch kissing scene.
Practice.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Nice. A little practice. It was fun. And yeah, it was great. So,
very cool stuff.
I just want to say nobody in my recollection, no one was ever fired because of a tongue.
No actors were harmed in the
because
kissing.
She only kissed one other guy really, really passionately. And we never wanted him to be
Dan Rubin,
and we didn't want him to be the husband.
Yeah, he was never going. He was never going.
That was right. Never
going
to happen.
Yeah.
So
she might have been.
Urban myth.
She might have been busting.
No, she was breaking the ice and trying to make.
I get you setting you up. Yeah.
Set me up, trying to make me feel at home, and she was like, "Welcome to the, you know,
everyone from Us Weekly, calm down. It's not. It was just
having the shotgun with the dad with the shotgun when the guy picks up. Girl,
all right, listen, we're gonna say goodbye to James and we're gonna finish talking about this episode. There's a lot of things that do happen in this episode that we need to
take care of.
Thank you so much. Maybe we'll see you in some time too.
Bye, James.
Okay,
right. Bye-bye. Awesome,
bye.
Man. All right, cool. Well, that was a lot of fun. He was awesome on the show. I want to talk to you guys about a couple of the things that are happening in this. This is a hot and heavy. In this Valentine's episode. I mean, first off, we get right off the bat with Ray and Donnie. I mean, I was like, what am I watching? Cinemax?
It was the blue ball scene. It was, you know, it was a classic scene where it was a real scene. I thought that you had to really see what do they really do? I thought it was pretty good. I mean, he stopped, he respected her, but it plays real hot. And then of course, you know, we got the Valerie, you know, the on the bounce there, you know, she was the original, you know, friends with benefits.
That's right. We invented that. Yes. Yeah. You invented that, friends with 90210.
Yeah, because it had never happened to anybody before.
Well, on television, maybe not. I don't know.
No.
But let me ask you guys this question. You know, playing with Donna's virginity and seeing it come to this light where you actually see what it's like for Ray. Was that important for Jessica? Is that important to write into the series, do you think?
I think Donna's virginity was hugely important. It was very important to me anyway. And it was important to the fans. They wanted to know what did it mean for her to be a virgin? And what does it mean in a relationship? And it was part of our way of showing that it was another way to demonstrate that Ray wasn't such a great guy. And his mother, who gives him the advice, do whatever you want, just don't get caught, basically. You don't want to screw up this good relationship you have to her. It was a good relationship because Donna came for money. So, you know, it was multi-layered and fascinating to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought the Valerie, the fallout after Valerie says, oh, stay, and he doesn't. When she leans back against the headboard and wraps herself in the blanket, we felt for her a little bit too.
She's just, just a broken person.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like upsetting to see Donna go through, she sees Valerie and Ray kind of flirting at the After Dark at one point at the end of the episode. And I don't know why Donna is always so trusting of these guys. You know what I mean? You can clearly see what's up But I do have the knowledge of watching the, It's a Show and knowing that.
Well, what about Brandon, Brandon kissing Donna? That was
Brandon and Donna. Was that was and such a horrific moment.
Kelly's not there.
That was great. It was really
they
great.
They both got to, yes, that's right. We got both.
It's a little, big
Kelly got to kick blood out of an episode. But yeah, it was great. It was a good, good smooch.
No kissing problem there. No.
Yeah, it was good to see that Tori doing some of that. And then, of course, you know, Chuck, you mentioned it briefly, but we also did have the Finley storyline going on as well. And that was really pretty hot and fiery with him and Brandon getting into the, you know, the confrontation at that house, which Melanie, I'd like to visit that house if we can find it.
It was on our list. We'll have to reschedule it for next time. Yes.
All right. That'll be interesting.
But talk to me about, Larry, we talked a little bit. We rewatched some of the Finley stuff. Rewatching it again, and for those who have not seen, we've covered that. You can go to the archives and find that. But talk to me about some of the language and revisiting it. Somebody texted me today and said
just forgot some of the next burn. Brandon was being reflexive, which I like.
Reflexive, yeah.
He was definitely a rough beast. He was out of the box, rough beast, and he was, you know. No, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, you know, when you're in college, you're vulnerable. And Kelly had just come off the fire, so she, and Brandon, of course, had that he wasn't there for her because he was with Emily Valentine. So, I mean, all these things were really earned, all these moments and the anxiety between them. I mean, the betrayal Brandon's feeling when she doesn't show up for the telethon, which is, that's why he ends up with
right. Donna.
But I thought that was great. And then having him knock heads with Finley and just the attitudes were so strong. I thought he got a chance to play. And then the great thing here was we get to bring Dylan into the thing and the guys, you know, all over Kelly, and which is going to all lead to I Choose Me. So, I mean, we did some really good work here and earned all those emotional moments. That's right.
And a lot of things started. Great. Although it was a Valentine's Day episode, as Larry just said, a lot of serious story arcs and tributaries were set up from here.
It launches Kelly Dillon again. It's terrific.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. If we go to we get to the old Western stuff where she's his soulmate, and we take it, you know, all the way to both the guys vying for her and her closing the door.
Right.
No, it was really thrilling to see that because it's a difficult episode. Valentine's Day also is a difficult day. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on the day. It's always somehow disappointed. You know, just to quickly go back to the other one for a second, it was interesting because none of the Brandon didn't have any date on Valentine's Day. Kelly had nothing going on. We never mentioned it, which was great because it would have cluttered everything. But there's a couple of people there who do nothing on Valentine's Day. Like, it's no big deal.
Well, they did. They didn't know what they were doing the telephone.
Baby Makes Five, I'm talking about. No, the telephone is great. In that one, they kind of just, you know, selectively, because you got the great
Valentine's is about Hallmark and Stouffer, right?
Right.
It's not one of my holiday. I told a story. I'm going to spare the fans, but I had a humiliating Valentine's Day at 11 years old, and it, you know, and I never got off on it.
Very Curb Your Enthusiasm, like, right?
Exactly.
What about you, Jeff? Was it a big day for you?
I often wish it were better than it was, and I have good Valentine's Day stories. There was when I met my second husband. Steve had died. And I'd met this new guy, and we go out to dinner. It was our second date. It was Valentine's Day. And he arrives at the restaurant, and he's empty-handed and on time. And he says, I had a choice, being late and getting you flowers or being on time. And I looked at him with a glare, and I said, you made the wrong choice. And I got home that night, and I said to my daughter, I'm never going to see this guy again. I was so mean to him, and I got meaner and meaner as the night went on. So the answer is, yes, it is important to me. I learned that. And then
Jessica, did he bring over a bouquet of flowers after the date?
Next date, he did call, and he asked me out again. And we went to the movies, and after dinner and a movie, he took me to my car, and he said, and I got into the car, and I said goodbye. I don't even know if he kissed me. And he said, hang on 1 second, roll down your window. He yelled through it, and I rolled down my window. He said, give me your hand. And I stuck out my hand, and he very kind of surreptitiously put something in it. And I opened my hand, and it was a heart necklace. Oh. And he said, that's to make up for my screw up on Valentine's Day. I'm going to marry this guy. And I did, a minute later.
Hey, we shouldn't forget the big scene in this thing. We have to remember the big scene in this show, which is the limousine scene.
Oh, my
Rosen is a star.
How could we forget that?
Yeah. One take on our side.
How long did it take you to convince Mr. Spelling to come out and do it?
Not that long. he feigned some protest. You know, I'm so bad in this kind of thing. But also, it was right at the period of time that I told him I was leaving the show.
Oh.
And then I come back and we have to film this scene. So there was a little underlying, we were having a meeting here. But I had always had this hope, you know, I could see it. Oh, he would retire gracefully, which was not in the cards for him. And that this would always be shown as, and here's Aaron Spelling, you know, in this moment that he would revel in it. And it was it's a wonderful one for me to see. But it also was on Valentine's. It's about kind of we were breaking up, you know. So
let's see here. I think I might have it. Let's just take a look.
If you don't, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
I want to say that Todd H is back after COVID and all that stuff. And we thank you, Todd, for all
this. Welcome back, Todd.
Yeah.
Love Todd.
Farmers Market, Fairfax and Third. Look for the blue hair. See ya. Look, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm looking for the music group, Jade. Their manager said they were meeting a limousine here.
You just missed them. They just left.
Oh! Jade! Jade!
Can I help you?
You're not Jade.
Jesus, we're having a meeting here.
Sorry.
Aaron does a double take. It's so fabulous.
I love it.
It kind of has a little Larry David in him there. That, can you believe this? You know,
he would, depending on the day, he would either tell us, well, you know, I was an actor, or he would tell us, you know, I'm a writer at heart. And then
I was in Gunsmoke.
Curious,
that's right.
Chuck, has Ian Ziering ever interrupted a meeting with you and Aaron? I'm just kidding. Hey, Michelle wanted to ask this question about Baby Makes Five. I think it's a good one. She asked it for Charles, but I think Jessica probably wrote this in. The whole thing about Luke talks about where he got his scar.
Right.
Did you know that?
We made that up because there was a moment I think that we thought about that it was his birthday. That we thought it might have been his birthday because turning 17, because he had to be 17 to get give blood. And for some reason that we threw that out because maybe we'd established when his birthday was, or I don't even know. But we'd realized it must have been because he gave blood and we're already blood.
Exactly. It was a good excuse.
That's like writers deciding how to get things in. But we all knew that his scar was part of his look and part of his charisma and part of his whole thing. So it was very nice to be able to use it.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, I think we covered Valentine's. There's a couple other ones, and we're going to be tweeting along on Pluto. Melanie, do you want to tell people what they have to do to tweet along and all that stuff? Special interviews with Charles and Larry. They recorded specific moments that are going to play and all that stuff. Exclusive content for this tweet along. It's going to be a lot of fun. Melanie, go ahead.
Yes, it's happening tomorrow, which is Thursday, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific. I will be at the 90210 show account tweeting, and Pete and Larry, and I think maybe Charles.
Maybe pop on.
And like Pete said, we have some exclusive content to share. We're going to be tweeting the whole time. It's going to be super fun. Download the Pluto TV app. You can put it on your smartphone or your device. And it's channel 138. And we got to pick the programming block. So you can watch the shows we picked and share your thoughts while we
What are they? What are the shows? In what order? Do you know them?
You used to have that, Larry. What a trick question. Well, no, it's this one that we just talked about. Baby
That's
Makes
the first
Five.
One? Okay.
Yeah. Labors of Love, I think, is another one.
That's season 4.
Baby Makes Five is the second one, right?
Right.
Okay.
Baby Makes Five is the second.
5 o'clock one. That's the one. That's the one with my acting. You know, Little debut. Fish. That's the one I'm going to be. Little Fish. We got the good Larry Loves Little.
And then we have Goodbye Beverly Hills.
Yep. Right. Neighbors of Love, and You've Got to Have Heart. Also.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So just we didn't just do Valentine. Just you know,
well, we ran out of Valentine.
Ones of the Heart.
So listen, also, guys, I want to say Jenny's going to be with us next week. And on February 24th, we're not going to announce who it is, but stay tuned to our Instagram because there will be a major Beverly Hills 90210 show episode coming your way. We don't want to announce it because we want to sign all the dots and the I's and all that stuff, but it is coming your way, and it has been
pretty much. There's an I right there.
And it's going to be absolutely awesome. If it happens, and I'm not going to tell you who it may or may not be, but it may or may not be that person. So we will see how that all plays out. Okay, this has been really great, guys. I hope you had a good one talking about this. We are going to
so much fun.
After have a good Valentine's Day. You know.
Yeah, great. And all right, see you there. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Okay.
All right. Bye, bye, everybody.
Bye, bye. Great to see you. Thank you.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential? K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.